it's time. It is that time. Time for Stiles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Stiles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Friday. And it was raining in Sacramento on a day, a monumental day. Any way you look at it, we will continue to talk A's. But it was not raining after the first quarter in the Big Apple for the Kings as they lose to the Knicks, who essentially own them in a way. We talk about ownership these days with the A's. Well, the Knicks seem to own the Kings instead of Vivek, 120-109 in a game where they came out hot, Chris. It was feeling good, and then they just went ice cold. So we're breaking everything down. We got Frank Facts, and also we're going to spend a lot of time today, the aftermath of the A's, more of your calls, more of your texts, more of your sack chat. How are you feeling? All the Kings and A's fans out there, how are you feeling about Vivek today? All the Giants fans out there, we have sound from Dave Cavill and how the Giants were a part of this. After all, it was their stadium, so they must have been complicit in this. How are you feeling today? If you're in Sacramento and you don't care about the A's or the Giants, how are you feeling today? But I start, and by the way, we got Nate behind the glass on a Feel Good Friday, but I start with asking Chris Watkins, yes, how are you feeling today?
I'm feeling okay. I'm definitely excited for the weekend. It feels like it's been a marathon of a week, so definitely looking forward to taking some time off. But, besides that, you know, feeling a little bit hurt about yesterday. It was
which part?
It was kind of heartbreaking. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was tough to see the Kings kind of come out and look about as good as they've looked at any point this season, and then to just kind of ultimately lose that lead on a huge stage. I mean, we talked about it a bit yesterday, but in Madison Square Garden on TNT, both teams playing for a lot. It was really, really frustrating to just kind of see them collapse in that second half. And, you know, it's tough for me to come with the excuses of, oh, no Malik, no Kevin Huerter, when on the other side, you know, they lost Julius Randle for the rest of the season. OG Anunoby's not playing. Like, you can't tell me that the Knicks weren't as down as the Kings were heading into that game. And then ultimately for it to be, another team that I think is just stylistically a really tough matchup for Sacramento. Thankfully, at least this one's in the East. But that was a loss that you just really couldn't have at that time. And then now you go to play the best team in not just the Eastern Conference, but in the entire NBA. And you're playing them on their home floor where they've just been dominant all year. Yeah, they're going to be down a couple big players, but that's the scary thing about playing one of the best teams in the NBA is they have, even the players, even with the significant injuries to Jaylen Brown, or not significant injuries, but even with the injuries to Jaylen Brown and Derek White, you still got Jason Tatum out there. You still got Porzingis out there. You still got Drew Holiday out there. You still got Al Horford. It's still a very, very tough matchup, and you know they're got to have it win. So there's no excuses.
The only way we can try to put a positive spin on this is that everybody thought the Kings were going to lose to the Celtics. So we all thought out of this back to back, they'd be 1-1.
Right.
So if you beat the Celtics, it's basically no blood.
Yeah.
Right? If you lose to the Celtics, and I said this yesterday right after I said, I promise I won't talk about the sixth seed if they lose. Then you said you probably shouldn't do that. I said, all right, if they lose both, then I'll stop talking about the sixth seed. And that's exactly where we are. You know, man, I'm sitting here. You ever have a situation where you're looking for something, right? And you could swear that you just saw it somewhere and you think, okay, I think it was on my dresser. I can literally visually see it on my dresser, but it's not on my dresser. All right, I really thought it was on the counter, but it's not on the counter. That is how I feel about Harrison Barnes. I know I just saw it somewhere. I know I just saw him put up 20 somewhere. And now I'm looking and I can't find him.
I never even saw him. I've been looking for years.
You've been looking for years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so tough, but we ask people to compartmentalize when we talk about the Kings and also the A's coming to Sacramento and compartmentalizing Sacramento fans being happy about it and Sacramento residents being happy about it and A's fans being upset about it. Grace to both sides. Try to compartmentalize that. I have to compartmentalize Harrison Barnes as the person and Harrison Barnes as the player because I know he's a good dude. I know he helps people out, right? You have a really great story with Coach Mike Brown talking about how somebody on his Nigerian national team, Jordan Nwora, he was trying to figure out the league. And Coach Mike Brown came to Harrison Barnes and said, hey, man, I got a kid, him and his dad. They really just want somebody to be a mentor to him. Harrison said, give him my number. I got you. I'll help him. We know he can do that. Can you do something on the basketball court? I can't do it anymore, Chris. I can't do it. If we start talking poorly about Harrison Barnes, let's just caveat it with saying this is about him on the court. That's all. We know he's a good dude. We know he's a great teammate. You have to show up. That's it.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, yeah, but we can do the Harrison Barnes segment now if you want.
No. You know? No. Let's go to Frank Facts.
Yeah, looking over at Frankie Cardicelli and his post-game recap, and you can check out every single post-game recap over at SacktownSports.com. Frankie, as we know, you know, Dave was giving Brendan a hard time. Frankie's the senior Kings
all reliable,
insider, you know, all reliable, always there when you need him, always there. Not even when you don't need him, Frankie's
that's right.
There. So Frankie's, we appreciate Frankie's work over here. Frank Facts, Keon Ellis had only knocked down two triples over his past two games, but that did not stop Keon from letting it fly last night. Keon helped Sacramento set the tone early by drilling three triples in the first 5 minutes of action. Him and De'Aaron came out incredibly hot, and that was definitely the biggest part of the Kings' big early start was Keon, Davion, and De'Aaron all locked in, all knocking down their perimeter jumpers. Keon and De'Aaron both stripped Jalen Brunson in that first quarter. Everything was clicking. Everything looked great. Kings converted 7 of their first 10 attempts from beyond the arc during the first quarter to take a 35-20 lead at the end of the first quarter. After shooting 65% from the field in the first half, that's when things started to go bad. Sacramento went 10 of 24. That's 42% from the field in the third quarter as the Knicks caught fire, knocking 5 of 10 down from the perimeter. So as the Kings were slumping, the Knicks pick up the offense, which is exactly what we've talked about. You know, it's not about playing defense when you're hitting shots. Everybody can do that. The energy's flowing. You take that momentum that you get on the offensive end and carry that energy to defense. A lot of teams can do that. It's about playing defense when you're not hitting shots as a secondary resort to winning. Of course, everybody wants to win, moving the ball around, hitting threes, throwing lobs. Everybody wants to win like that. But not the real teams, the real champions. You see teams like the Celtics, they'll give it to you anyway. You can score. We can hold you to under 110 points. It's not just about playing defense when you're playing well. It's about playing defense and just having it be something you do every single night. Sacramento went 8 of 25, 38% from the field in the fourth. So that's 42% in the third, 38% in the fourth, including 4 of 5 from beyond the arc in that fourth quarter, being outscored by 11. And honestly, 4 of 15 is doing the Kings a lot of favors because I think Sasha hit two or three threes in like the last 5 minutes of that game when it was already over.
After his two air balls.
After his two.
And those were terrible.
That first air ball was tough.
It was crazy.
Because it was from the other side. It was a corner shot and he hit nothing. He shot it to the other side of the rim.
Yeah.
Which is something I can relate to, but I shouldn't.
I mean, when I saw that, I thought they're probably going to lose.
They're probably going to lose after that. It was really, really tough to see those. He did, you know, knock down a couple of them for sure, but the Kings shot 37% during the second half after shooting 65% in the first. That is such a major drop off nobody in this league is going to win when you shoot 37 in one half and then 65 in the second. New York won the free throw battle, which is something Allen was nervous about going into yesterday after we played Tom Thibodeau's. They're fouling him. Well, they listened. 29-12, the free throw battle was won by New York on Thursday, although both teams shot under 70% from the free throw line. We've seen that movie before here in Sacramento. And the Knicks ran the break. The Knicks ran the break with purpose, which is something we talked about yesterday. The Kings needing to do. The Knicks outscored Sacramento 19-9 in the fast break. Terrible. Yeah. Those are a lot of losing numbers.
It's just not going to work.
Yeah.
Not with the slate of games they have left and the teams they have. And if they do the same thing tonight, they'll probably lose worse.
Probably.
Okay?
Probably.
And
11 was honestly like, I mean, that was, again, like Sasha's little spurt at the end kind of saved it from being like 20-plus point deficit. So
ridiculous. Ridiculous. Great. We break down what the heck happened blowing a 21-point lead in the second quarter, and where do we go from here? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
Two winners, not one, but two. Fieldhouse, where Chris and I will be on Monday for the national championship, 4 p.m. Sacktown Sports has teamed up with Fieldhouse American Sports Pub to hook up the best listeners in Sacktown with an unforgettable night of hoops and hype. Come kick it with us all night long on Monday, and we're taking a lucky caller at 12 p.m., 916-339-1140. They're going to get hooked up with the reserved VIP table right next to your boys for all of the College Hoops Championship. That's at 12 o'clock.
Yes, sir.
Who you guys got taking it all?
It's for the men.
It's really tough to not say UConn. Like
they're a buzzsaw.
I have not watched that much college basketball this season. I've watched a good amount of the tournament. It just seems like they are on a different level than everyone else.
I would love for it to be DJ Burns and Purdue. But
NC State.
I'm locked in on Purdue.
Personally. Oh, excuse me. For the matchup?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I would love for it to be DJ Burns and NC State beating Purdue. But yeah, UConn looks crazy. I like Alabama. I think their coach is really intense, and maybe they can power through. UConn, they might just run out of gas. Who knows? All it takes is one bad game. But
what do you think about Zach Edey, like as a pro?
Didn't somebody like a couple days ago say that he could end up on the Kings in the second round? Didn't Dave say that?
I have no idea.
It was either the morning show or the afternoon show.
Dave's always breaking news, so you never know.
It was either the morning show or the afternoon show, but I know I was in my car.
One more for you guys, and you might not have an answer for this, but how many NBA players do you think are playing tomorrow in the Final Four?
That's a
like
great
three
question.
Or four, maybe.
I mean, Zach Edey will get drafted.
That feels like a lot. Yeah.
Like it depends what we're meaning.
DJ Burns is going to the
NBA
NFL.
Players, let's just say
drafted.
From now?
Let's just say they're drafted into the NBA.
Probably four. Four is probably right.
Yeah.
UConn, Alabama. Yeah. Probably like 4 to 6, maybe max. I mean, you know, these games definitely can determine things. Like, you know, I think Jordan Hawkins definitely did himself a lot of favors last year in the tournament by having the Final Four, especially the Final Four run that he had.
So, again, you will be able to kick it with us. That is on Monday. Fieldhouse. And what better way? Mondays, if you got a case of the Mondays, what better way to get through a case of the Mondays than kicking it with your boys at Fieldhouse American Sports Pub? And you'll have a chance to really just pick our brains on anything, see how much we really like each other outside of the studio. If you call in at 12.
Yeah, actually, I don't know if people should be able, not because it's bad, but I think that we act too much of a fool out in public.
Yeah, Alan's always rapping.
No, that's not true.
I made that up.
Yeah, I am crazy, not always
Why
rapping.
Would you make that up?
Well, if you talk about B Rabbit and a choke artist, that's exactly what the Kings were last night.
Sick transition.
They did not show up. And they blow a 21-point lead in the second quarter. I'm sitting there, Chris, at my spot in Natomas, Oshima, outstanding sushi. The baby was there. The wife was there.
You brought the whole family.
Oh, yeah. We had a great time. Fried oysters, deep-fried oysters, the whole bit. And I'm feeling good. I'm at this point, I'm eating gyoza.
Feeling good.
And then all of a sudden, by the time the sushi comes, I'm eating my dynamite roll. And the score is going away just like every roll on my table. Okay, and I don't know what is going on from your point of view. What the hell happened?
Well, I didn't have sushi in front of me, that's for sure. It would have gone down a whole lot better if I had something like that in front of me. It was really the big conversation coming out of it is something we've talked about all year long. To me, it was, unfortunately, my guy Mike Brown doing way too much with the blitzing. I mean, it was
too much.
It was way, way too much. And I do want to maybe throw a theory as to why it happened. The only reason why I don't fully believe it is because at this point in the season, it's really not the time to be playing these kind of games. But I don't know if you've heard him say it. He's mentioned it twice now in two different, I think they were pregame press conferences. Mike Brown has talked about a time, I think in LeBron James's rookie season, when he was coaching the Cavs, when Mike Brown was coaching the Cavs, he had a moment where they were running, let's just say they were doubling somebody on the other team, and they just kept doubling. Mike Brown calls a timeout in the fourth quarter, and he's like, all right, guys, like, you know the game plan. Like, just keep doubling. It's going to work, whatever. And LeBron takes control of the huddle and says, no, forget that. Mm-hmm. You're getting your guy. You're getting your guy. I'm getting my guy. If he beats you, I'm a slide over. We all know what to do. We know how to take care of this. Let's go do it. I wonder if Mike Brown was maybe looking for that moment, because it did eventually come. I noticed with about 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, the game was pretty much already in hand. Jalen Brunson had just hit one of his big threes. I can't remember if it was the one that was over.
And Larry
Sasha.
David was there.
Larry David was in the building.
The whole cast from Curb was there.
Yeah. And it was after that, De'Aaron kind of calls off Keon to have the double, and De'Aaron just picks Brunson up at half court. He still gets burned, but the bigger point was he called off the double, and I was wondering in that moment, like, was Mike Brown just hammering this until someone on the team was going to stay? Because, you know, we've had the leadership conversation.
No, there's
I think
no
it's,
way.
Again, yeah, that's the biggest
there's
reason
no
why I don't
way.
Think so, but I can't really think of another reason why Mike Brown would just continually throw that double. To me, I didn't have a problem with the thought process of doubling, because after the Clipper game, James Harden talked about it. Ty Lue talked. Everybody said the blitzing really bothered James Harden, and that was the key to the Kings beating the Clippers.
Yeah, but James Harden isn't as good as Jalen Brunson anymore.
I think he is as a playmaker. I definitely think as a playmaker, James Harden is still one of the best in the NBA. I just think that it's something that you don't throw at him the entire game.
Sure,
it's something you... Mike Brown's the one who always says, give guys a healthy diet of things.
Yes.
Give them a diet of it. Don't throw it at him the entire game.
Sure. The James Harden thing is the same, right? Hey, we'll do something. It's not about the blitz. It's about making adjustments. Hey, we're going to blitz James Harden, and they don't do it. They did it with the Mavericks, and then eventually they got burned by Dante Exum with the one shot that he made, but they continued to do it, and I guess technically it was working because he was shooting.
He was missing, yeah.
The Clippers, they did it.
McBride missed that whole first quarter.
The first quarter.
And then he stopped missing.
And then he stopped missing, and they don't have any adjustments, and I'm sorry. If we're talking about effort or other things, I'm always with you, Chris, on it's on the players.
Yes.
But an adjustment like that, I'm sorry, Mike Brown, you got to take this one on the chin.
He does.
And it's bad. It's bad. And
really
I don't think it's any any type of, oh, De'Aaron Fox, you know, are you going to man up or whatever? Because Keon, I don't know what it is. Keon guards Kyrie better than Jalen. Jalen has his number.
Keon was getting cooked.
Jalen has his number.
Yeah,
it was bad. He was doing whatever he wanted.
Every time.
And excuse me, Josh Hart, who is a complete brick from the outside.
Second highest point total of his career.
That was crazy.
31. Yeah.
Josh Hart put up 31, and he didn't take a three in Adam Silver's NBA. That's impressive for Josh Hart.
1984 basketball.
And embarrassing for the Kings. It's crazy to me. Oh, the Villa. And you know I don't like Villanova because I went to Temple. And I got to watch this. I got to watch the same thing I had to watch for years against my rival school. I can't stand them.
Yeah,
I don't want to hear. I know a little later in the show, you got a clip from their podcast. I don't want to hear them. I can't stand Josh Hart. He's talking trash. You're a complete brick.
Yeah.
And somehow.
He's a 6'4". Center.
He's a 6'4 center. And somebody, for the love, for Pete's sake, take a charge. Keegan finally did. I'm tired of them taking these whack charges where they're just, and they're kind of standing and then they fall. Trey Lyles did it.
Yeah.
Guys, they're not calling that. Jalen Brunson, he stood up there. You know he's stocky and he just took that thing and fell on the ground after that Keegan Murray spin move. It was just bad, man.
Yeah.
It was bad.
A lot of really bad
stuff. You got 35 piece again. In the Garden, and De'Aaron, we'll get into him. Not a terrible game, but at
that
the end of the day,
man, I can't with the threes.
At the end of the day, De'Aaron Fox 29 points. You had Brunson with 35. The difference is Josh Hart and what he was able to do. Did you see his shot chart?
Who's that? Josh Hart.
Josh Hart. Yes, should. It looks like what Hartenstein should have been. It literally looked like a center.
All in the paint.
It's crazy.
All in the paint.
When we return, continuing the conversation, and we're filing a missing report, a missing persons report for Harrison Barnes. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
If you are on the YouTube, I have a, what would you call this, Chris? A big head? Just a poster?
Yeah, I mean, it's a cutout.
We got a big cutout of this man. Let's see here. He goes 6'8".
There you go.
225, yep. Nicknamed the Black Falcon. If you're in your car right now listening to the audio version of this, I have a cutout of this guy, nickname Black Falcon, power forward, went to UNC from Iowa. Has anyone seen this man? Last seen,
probably in a suit.
Last seen in a very nice suit.
Giving a nice speech.
He was last seen March 31st, okay, against the Utah Jazz. That's the last time we saw this man. We are looking for this man. He goes by Harrison Barnes. Mm-hmm. We're looking.
Trying to find him.
We are looking. If you see this man, tell him the Kings are in need.
Yes, they
are missing Malik Monk. They are missing Kevin Huerter. They need their veteran to not disappear like Jumper. And whenever year that movie came out, underrated movie.
That's like the only other movie Hayden Christensen was in that wasn't Star Wars.
Underrated movie, by the way, but not an underrated performance by Harrison Barnes. A donut on a Friday. Did you get donuts on your Friday? If you're in your office right now, did Harrison Barnes give you the donuts? Because he gave the Knicks a donut last night. No points, Chris. 15 minutes. How does it happen?
I can't even look in that direction right now.
Look at this.
I'm really struggling.
Look at the picture. This is your guy. How much now? How much? $18 million next season? Okay. 3 years, $58 million. Stare into his soul. Because I don't know who's going to – he's a sweetener. He's a sweetener at this point in a trade during the summer. He's a sweetener, Chris.
Alan, how do you feel when I tell you Harrison Barnes next season is going to be, even with the Malik Monk possible extension, Harrison Barnes is going to be the third highest paid player on this team next year? What kind of emotions does that make you feel? Because I don't understand.
I don't understand it.
There's no way. I mean, maybe this is too early for off-season talk, but I mean, it's the same conversation I feel like I had last year during the playoffs. This guy is 31, 30. He's either 30 or 31 years old. He's the most veteran guy on this team who actually gets minutes, besides JaVale McGee, of course. You're on this team to thrive in this exact kind of situation. We don't ask a lot when Harrison when Kevin Herter's playing with Malik Mo. We should probably ask more of him. Mm-hmm. But Alan Stiles, everyone's gone. Okay, HB is the most veteran guy here. If anyone is going to recognize, oh my gosh, this I've been around the league, I've seen dire situations before. I can recognize when a team is in dire need of something at the end of their season on the line. Let me do something as the third highest paid player on this team, the most veteran person on this team. Let me make sure that I'm pulling my weight and setting the example for everybody else of what the standard should be here. You know what the standard is not? 0 points. One rebound. Did he get an assist, Steve? I don't know.
Just stay in Sacramento.
15 minutes.
Just Harrison.
Bro,
Harrison.
That's crazy.
You know what? He's going to be a politician. He should have been at the press conference yesterday.
Bro.
He did the same amount that he would have done if he stayed here for the A's press conference.
Bro.
It's the same thing. And Coach Mike Brown doesn't want to come down his road ever, and I get it. You have that respect for him. You've known him for a very long time. But come on, man. Come on. You're playing him. You had to pull him. You had to bench him 15 minutes.
You see that fourth quarter play, too, when they put him in? They barely put him in the fourth quarter. And what does he – Keegan Murray picks up, I think, his fifth foul.
Yeah.
And Mike Brown's like, ah, man, okay, I already got Trey out there because I'm not going to play HB because he's not giving us anything. I guess I'm going to put HB back out there. Allen, literally the possession he gets out there, he just turned the ball over.
It was bad.
Immediately.
It was
immediately.
Bad.
Immediately.
It was bad. He.
And they got to have it.
Listen
game.
To this. It gets worse. It actually gets worse. He had 0 points. He had more turnovers than points. He had 3 turnovers.
Insane.
And this is why I don't get the plus or minus thing. Somehow he was a plus one. I don't even understand that.
That's honestly a testament to everybody else out there that they were able to somehow lift the team to be at least just passable as he was just out there giving nothing.
He took two
You're
shots.
You're playing 4-on-5 pretty much, and the Kings were able to keep it neutral.
He took two shots, took 1 3-pointer. He had more turnovers. He had more turnovers. Chris, oh my goodness. No, Chris, no, seriously now. He had more turnovers than points, rebounds, and assists combined. That's insanity. That is insanity.
I don't know what to do with
Let's open up the phone lines. 916-339-1140. All guests and callers, join us from the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Let's get to Bobby, who wants to be part of the conversation. What's up, Bobby? You're on Styles and Watkins. What you got for us?
How you doing?
We're good. How you doing?
Good, thank you. I love how honest you guys are, because I'm sure we're all that was a rough loss last night after being up 21, as we all know. And it's like, guys, can we just like say it though? Like, watching how much tougher and resilient and tougher minded were the Knicks than us. And like, it's like, man, you know, our best players are just kind of soft. Like, I love Domas isn't. That's Domas's man. He's been so good this year. But, like,
Right. Everyone
else on our team is pretty soft, guys. Mm. Like, I love De'Aaron, but how mentally soft and fragile and weak is De'Aaron? Like, God, imagine if you had Jalen Brunson's mentality, or let's just say, like, an Allen Iverson. I mean, that's going too far. But we're just soft, and I love our team, man. I mean, we're just so – isn't it great to be complaining about them this time of year, by the way?
Yes.
Let's check ourselves.
Sure.
Like, we're a soft team. I mean, last night was beyond – like, I've known we've been soft, but, like, the Knicks exposed once again how soft we are.
Yeah.
So that's – you got – hey, I love how – let's continue to hold them accountable, but we just need some new – we need a couple new guys with some heart and some toughness.
Absolutely.
Thanks for the call, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.
To me, the problem is, and somebody said this in a crazy way about Monty McNair. Remember that text a couple months ago when the person said Monty has a type, no tattoos,
oh
and things
God.
Like that.
Yes, I do remember.
And that was
that.
I don't even know if we said that on the air.
I think we did.
A hilarious text, and that was a little bit much.
Yes.
But to Bobby's point, It's really just, hard. I'm just, I know, I'm
you're
holding,
just coddling, just, I'm just cradling holding,
because
right
we come home, Harrison, come home. Actually, go to Boston. We need you in Boston. I'm just holding this poster hard, the whole
okay,
time.
Go ahead. Sorry.
So the bottom.
You really are a father. You're a
thing,
great father.
The
I can
thing
see
to
it.
Me is that you cannot have, to Bobby's point, I think it's really hard to have, as far as personality wise, yeah. It's really hard to have Keegan Murray and Harrison Barnes in the same starting five.
Mm.
I think that's really difficult. Yeah. That's two passive players out of the three on the court. So you have one star in De'Aaron Fox. You have one really productive player mm-hmm. in Domantas Sabonis. You have two guys that are pretty passive. And now with Kevin Huerter out, who wasn't, I wouldn't call Kevin Huerter passive at all.
Yeah.
But now, and you have a two-way guy in Keon Ellis who's been playing well, but he is what he is. That's just a tough recipe. Yeah.
Since
that's
it's
a
just
tough recipe.
Two, since it's just us two here and the cutout of HB, of course, can I tell you something that I promised Brendan I wouldn't tell anybody? It's a take
sure.
that I've been kind of holstering, and I
okay.
told Brendan I wouldn't go public with it, but I feel like I'm ready to go public with it. And it is kind of insane. So hear me out here.
Mm-hmm.
I think Harrison Barnes, now this man is up for teammate of the year, whatever, sportsmanship of the year.
Yeah.
I think Harrison Barnes is a bad influence on Keegan Murray because he exactly what you just said. I'm afraid that Keegan Murray is already this really nice kid who is, we already see, you know, come on, Keegan, like take 17 shots, please.
Yeah.
Like be more aggressive. Fourth pick in the draft. It just, what you just said makes me feel like I don't know if, again, this guy is 31 years old. He's the most veteran guy who's playing for this team right now. I don't like the fact that he is a model. Every organization is going to say, I want a guy like HB in the locker room. So I'm not saying anything
right.
from that perspective. But I just don't think it's good for Keegan to see a guy out there who's just floating.
Just existing.
I don't think, and then he's not getting really punt, like, you know, he's getting 15 minutes in a game, but
yeah.
still getting his starting spot, still getting a lot, and rightfully so, because I think all of the praise and respect comes from a lot of the off the floor stuff and, you know, probably how he handles himself in terms of getting ready, but the on the floor stuff, you have to have an ego out there on the mm-hmm. basketball floor. And how many times have we said specifically about HB doesn't play with an ego? And I could see Keegan Murray falling into that same thing of, I'm okay being the third best scorer on the team. That's not what anybody should have that mentality.
Yeah.
Nobody should say, look, I'm okay being the third scorer. You get into this league being hungry.
Yeah.
You see a guy like Malik who's just constantly grinding and talking about how, oh man, like I'd love to be a starter,
right.
but
right.
I'm going to accept this role because it's best for the team. Like, man, I just want Keegan Murray to say, I want to be the best player on this team. I'm going to continue to play until I feel like I'm getting the respect as one of the best players on this team. I don't want him to come out every night and say, hey, my role is to be a tertiary starter or tertiary whatever
yeah.
scorer and you know, fall back and wait for my opportunity. No, go get your opportunity because
right.
you're incredibly talented. And that's always been my biggest frustration
and
with HB is you're crazy talented.
Yeah.
You've been the number two high school recruit coming out. You went to UNC. You were still a top 10 pick even after disappointing in college because everybody, every single step in your career has seen this dude can do a little bit of everything. But the problem is he never feels like it's my time to go show everybody what I got and what I have to offer. He's just kind of taking a back seat every time.
And he's already shown us time and time again that you're just not going to be able to depend on him when you need him. He'll show up in some random games, but when you really do need him, he has not been there. You know who Harrison Barnes is? Harrison Barnes is that friend.
Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, Harrison Barnes is that friend who's about 30, 31, 32 years old and still doesn't know what he wants to do in life. He's your boy, and you respect him, and he's a good dude, and he's probably going to be in your wedding, and if you had a sister, you might even let him date. But as far as the drive and what do you want to do in life, every day he has a new idea, but he never follows through. He's playing video games, he's eating Cheetos, but he's got a lot of potential. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
We want the rock. Give up. Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
They're coming out with Beetlejuice 2. And if anybody's seen the original, you know, you say Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Okay.
And Beetlejuice appears. Well, it's the same thing on the phone lines when you say Harrison Barnes' name more than three times in a segment. And the phone lines are on fire. 916-339-1140. TC, we see you, Doug. We see you, Jerry. We see you, Will. We see you. But let's start with TC. What you got for us?
Hey, man, what's popping, man? What's up with Allen and Chris?
Man, enjoying a Friday. Enjoying a Friday. What you got?
Man, that's what I'm doing. I'm enjoying a Friday, man. You know, kind of upset, but, you know, we can remake tonight. As long as we beat Boston, man, we'll be in good shoes, and I think we will, man, even though it went down like that. Harrison is missing, man. But you know what? Like, Harrison has to be better. He has to, bro. Like, you have to quit disappearing. But actually, it's a team thing. Fox passive. Domas doesn't know when to dominate. Keegan, we have to keep telling you how to shoot too much. Like, Mike, last night, you were supposed to call a timeout. Like, during that run, you were supposed to call, like, two or three timeouts just to cause the stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
To get us back in the game. But, I mean, on the flip side, I get it, what you were saying, Chris, about Mike Brown saying, hey, call a double, and he's looking for the team to step up. And I get that. Like, hey, bro, I'm not going to keep babying you guys. I'm going to call something, but I'm looking for y'all to step up. Like, Mike probably know how the team is. Like, these dudes ain't going to speak up unless I get them really mad. Like, the team has to start speaking up to, like, I know they do, like, Malik, but, like, when De'Aaron called off the double. Mike might be looking for that as a coach. Like, bro, look, we need y'all to figure it out. I can't hold your hand the whole time. That's what's going to make us a great team. Like, I can teach, you guys can learn, but also you guys can teach me and grab grab the bull by the horns, bro. Mm-hmm. That's what Mike is looking for, dog. But the problem with Mike last night, Mike was supposed to call timeouts. Mike, you got to go back to that. I know the team, you don't want to burn bridges, you want to fall back, but Mike, you got to go back to the old Mike. When it's a bleeding or somebody ain't doing something right, time out. Let me show you. Let me bring you over here. I don't care about all that might get old, that might grow in the players. No, these dudes need to be mentally strong, and Mike is teaching on from every step, bro.
Thanks for the call, TC. Yeah, at the end of the day, and that story that Chris talked about when you said, and LeBron James said, bump that.
Right.
They don't have LeBron James.
They sure do.
Okay?
Don't.
And it's okay to say that. Last time I checked, and I do want to have that conversation as well. And maybe it's more of an off-season conversation. Sure. You can have a franchise guy, but all franchise guys aren't created equal.
Yeah.
And there are levels to this. And
well, there's 30 franchises, and so every franchise is going to have a guy.
Right? So you got to rank the guys. And I do wonder if anybody ever ranks franchise guys, regardless of position.
That'd be a great summer article.
That's going to be a great. Maybe I'll write it.
Maybe we'll get Brendan on that.
Maybe we'll all collab on it. There you go. 916-339-1140. Let's get to Jerry, who's been waiting on the line. What's up, Jerry? What you got for us?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
We're good. We're good.
Friday,
what you got?
Man. Just enjoying this Friday. Just wanted to touch on base on some things, man. I feel like, you know, TC made a good call on Mike, you know, being a little bit, you know, just letting the leash a little bit loose on these guys, but also these guys not responding over and over. And, I don't have a problem with Harrison Barnes. I feel like we just have to use what we got, you know. If we didn't make any trades, that means Trey Lyles should get more minutes, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like the bench mob should be getting more minutes. They were on fire in the last game, and even some of the Dallas games. Mike waited too long in the first game, in the third quarter, then the fourth quarter, those runs killed us. I feel like Mike is letting them grow, but at the same time, I agree with you guys. Keegan does not have that dog in him. If we're expecting him to be that 3-and-D guy to make that stop like Doug Christie was, let's say even Francisco Garcia let's say Bobby Jackson, you know, mm-hmm. they had that dog in them. Like, they're going to get into the offensive player's face, and they're going to, you know, let them know they're there. Keegan isn't doing that on defense, and he's also not doing that on the offensive end. I just feel like, if he is under Harrison Barnes' wing, Harrison's got to tell him, like, hey, I wasn't like this, you know, in my younger days. While he was playing on the Warriors, Harrison was balling out, you know, in his younger days. And we're kind of expecting that from Keegan. I feel like he has to turn the corner sooner or later, but I just feel like, man, Mike's got to do a little bit of a better job on calling these timeouts, because we're letting leads slip away and we're letting close ones go, just like the Dallas ones back-to-back. Those were back-to-backs, but we played them twice.
Right.
Mike took too long to call those timeouts every time Dallas went on a run. Dallas isn't a faster team than us. We should be quicker than them.
Right. Yeah, thanks for the call, Jerry. Everybody deserves blame, okay? And Mike Brown, he's no different. I mean, Jerry makes a good point. You have multiple games here. It's not just – I don't know what's worse, right, to just come out and lay an egg and we get mad at the Kings for laying an egg, or to come out and blow leads because now they just seem to continue to blow these leads. They're both bad.
I mean, the blown lead thing doesn't really bother me too much just because I do really think that's just a part of the NBA. Like, mm-hmm. Everybody blows 20-point leads nowadays, so it's really not that crazy, especially if you get up that early. It's almost like you're expecting.
You're not going to be up 20 all game long.
You're not going to be up 20 all game long, exactly. But, I mean, it still is. It doesn't make it any less frustrating, but it more just makes it almost an inevitable. Like, when you go up that much, you almost have to wait for that second shoe to drop before the game actually starts. But, you know, that's not an excuse. I think these guys, they could have ran away with the game yesterday if they kept up the defense. But, yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yesterday was incredibly disappointing. I mean, I thought that they had finally turned the corner defensively, and for them to allow 120 points to a team that is terrible, frankly, offensively.
Yeah.
It's a really bad
season. I saw something, they hadn't had that many assists all season.
That wouldn't surprise me.
The Knicks.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And the thing about the blown leads is, fine, you might not be up 20 all game, but they bring it to 7,
yeah,
and you just survive. You just
keep letting it happen. You just keep bleeding.
You just survive, but they're just unable to do that. They're just unable to do that. Doug, we see you. Will, we see you. We will get to you when we return right after we pay some bills. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.